between the two of us back then. They say he looked so scary in the morning that half his bees died of fright. Or maybe they smelled his breath. I'm not quite sure. How much do I owe you for the wine? Nothing at all. I wanted to give it to the old man anyway, so you'll be doing me a favor. The management of the project does not interfere with the player's actions inside the game, nor does it have the capacity for such interference. A player can only be disconnected as a result of court ruling or the decision of an administrative council. None of the player's complaints concerning cheating, insults, violence, loss of property, or money, racial, gender-based, or other kinds of discrimination are taken into consideration if the above took place inside the game. Game-related problems should be solved with game-related methods or through litigation in accordance with the current legislation. See the corresponding chapter for specific details on court procedures pertaining to gaming projects. Project Administration's announcement on the game's official site.
Chapter 34. Ross knocked on the gate. There was no reply, so he knocked again. Everything was silent. The fence was tall and tight as a palisade, without a single gap. You couldn't see anything. The old man's place was a veritable fortress. The house could be seen from afar, looking suspiciously impregnable and quite unlike the other dwellings with their open yards.
"Hey, is there anyone alive in the fortress?"
"Who'd come here looking for the living all of a sudden?" asked an unfriendly voice from behind the fence.
"I have brought you some wine from Uncle Score."
The latch clinked, the wicket gate opened, and the little old man that Ross had intended to meet peeked out. It was hard to tell what his race was. He looked like a gray-skinned elf, but his ears were a lot longer, as though the elvish weren't long enough already. A somewhat more human-like copy of Master Yoda from Star Wars. The old guy thrust his hand forward in a demanding gesture. His forearm was thin as a skeleton's, bone and sinew wrapped in skin.
"Excuse me, my good sir, but who would I have the pleasure to be talking to?"
"I'm Starbonus. Who else did you expect to find here?"
"Here's the wine, and there's something I'd like to talk about."
"Why would I want to talk to a cheeky green pipsqueak like you?"
"It's about your past."
"Is that right?
Would you prefer to talk here for all the village to hear? I can see the old women across the road pricking up their ears."
"They can burn, ears and all those mangy sows. All right, get in. I can see it's easier for me to talk to you than to shoo you away."
Ross realized his charisma didn't affect this particular NPC, at least not visibly so. Then again, perhaps this cranky geezer wouldn't have even opened his door to another player. The house and the interior looked just like the palisade fence, simple and sturdy. Everything was also amazingly neat. Men often adopt a cavalier attitude to housekeeping, but here one would be hard-pressed to find so much as a handful of specks of dust, even with a magnifying glass.
"Sit," the old man pointed to a massive stool. "Well, out with it. What exactly is wrong about my past?"
"Oh, it's just that I've found out that the world-famous royal jeweler lives in a backwater village and not the capital. I believe you have your reasons. As for me, I would really like to learn the jeweler's craft. Why don't I help you solve your problems while you help me in return? How about it?"
"Thanks for making an old man laugh. I have no problems, kiddo, none at all, and it's been that way for a long time. I like it here, and I have chosen this place to get some peace and quiet. Get it?"
Ross grimaced. "Oh, well, sorry for disturbing you then. I'll be on my way."
"Sit,
I haven't dismissed you yet. I'll tell you this. You have reminded me of the olden days, and the memories have set my soul on fire. Nowadays it's just bees, and that can get tedious. But you know little of me. I am no simple jeweler. I also used to be known as one of the best gem cutters. Gems were my life, and it is still one of my greatest regrets that I never mastered the art of enchantment. But then, why would I need it now? It's so nice here, quiet, and I have my bees. You shouldn't have brought up my past so frivolously. I'm sorry. Well, since you're owning up to the error of your ways, it is on you to remedy the situation. Should you manage that, I'll help you learn the skill, and I'll even provide you with the tools you'll need to get started. How do I remedy it? You'll have to try hard. See this table here? I'd like to see, let's say 1,000 gemstones glistening on it. Pile them on. I'll admire them, and then I can get back to my bees. I don't need the gems. You can keep them. But know that quartz alone won't do the trick. I want 12 different kinds, and by tomorrow morning at the latest. They have to be of good quality, too. Well, not all of them, perhaps. Get going now, find those gems, and don't come back until you do. Ross couldn't help flashing a very smug grin. What a fortunate day. I was lucky indeed to have paid you a visit. You'll be as lucky to see yourself out without me sending you on your way with a kick in the butt. I don't like to wait. Why would I have to go anywhere and search for anything? I have everything you've asked for right here. Why, I've never seen a liar quite like you. How does your conscience permit you to lie with such an honest look in your eyes? You'll see for yourself in a moment. Ross got up, approached the table, took his miner's bag out of his belt, and started emptying it slot by slot. Each could contain up to 250 gems. He had filled up 14 slots completely, and even more partially mining the caves and the chaos dungeon. He only hoped the table would endure, as well as the old man's heart. The old-timer had a completely flabbergasted look on his face, with his jaw nearly reaching the floor, and Ross was only just getting started. In a few minutes, there was a pile of uncut gems on the table. Ross proclaimed proudly, 16 types, mostly amethysts, citrines, and morions. Some varieties are represented very poorly, and I have but a single sapphire. Its quality is not that good either. However, there is hardly any of the quartz that you seem to detest so much. Starbonus got up, took a few steps towards the door, bolted it, and peered out of the window with an expression on his face that might suggest he had just stolen something of great value and was now afraid of being found out. He drew the curtains, took an oil lamp off the wall, lighting it in a strange way with his fingers, and stood motionless in front of the table, watching the pile of gems glisten in the yellowish light. I say, I didn't think I'd ever see something like this again. That is no bag you have there, my dear lad. It's nothing short of a royal treasury. That's the only place I've seen something like this. Dear lad, that must be a good sign. The old man was already treating him like kin. Ross coughed. So, what do you say? Have I fulfilled your wish? My wish? Replied the old man pensively. Not quite my wish, mind you. You have 5,842 stones of varying quality, 16 types all in all, whereas I told you to get me 1,000 and around 12 types. Is it that bad that I have managed more? Why would that be bad? It's good. I could almost say it's perfect. You have indeed pleased me, lad. You have pleased me well. So, what did you want in return? Oh, yes, I remember. How about a cup of tea while I gather my wits about me? Sure, I'd love one. Gather your gemstones and get them out of sight, lest an evil eye sees them, and I'll put the kettle on." It took him much longer to gather the gems than it did to spill them out, but the old man said nothing as he waited patiently for the gems to disappear inside the nondescript bag. Ross asked him as he picked up the last of his gems, "How did you manage to count all the gems? Even I had no idea how many there were exactly. What else would you expect from a royal gem cutter?" "I have no idea. Gem cutting is a mystery to me." "Many things are a mystery to you, but luck seems to be on your side, since it has gifted you with such a fortune at such an auspicious moment. Some fools think a gem cutter's profession has got nothing to do with luck. They couldn't be more wrong, although what would you expect from fools?"
"Mr. Starbonus, my luck is very strong. Have no doubts about that."
"I have noticed. I'm good at seeing the essence of things. I can also see that you have concealed your race."
"Can many see that?"
"Among, for the likes of you, the newcomer folk, I doubt it. But there are many of the olden folk who possess that skill."
"That's bad. I'm in hiding from others like me."
"None of our people should reveal anything if they aren't questioned too hard, but you should keep yourself covered all the same, just in case."
"Covered?"
"Learn the Veil of Mystery spell. No one needs it. I would wager that none of your people ever even tried learning it. You, on the other hand, should find it handy. Not a single living soul will see your true race or anything else."
"Thank you so much."
"You are welcome. So, I promised you I would teach you the jewelry skill and provide you with the tools to get you started. Now, I will not be keeping that particular promise. Oh, don't you jump up like that. Oh, that hurt look on your face is precious. You misunderstand me, son. I'll teach you jewelry as well as gem cutting. They should never be separated. The two skills are like needle and thread. Gems should not be made separately from the item. You shall realize as much later. And do not repeat my mistake. Master the skill of enchanting, no matter what it takes. Then you shall have no rivals under the sun. I see that you have achieved a lot in different areas. You can do everything on your own. When you mine the gems and the ore yourself, and do your own smelting and cutting, and when you create an item yourself, using the gems you chose by yourself, their souls will merge in what you create. It will be a far cry from all those trinkets of dubious utility. You will also be more likely to create items of great power when you do everything with your own hands, without involving anyone else. Every item remembers how it was changed, and the person who changed it. Do your job diligently, and they will be grateful. Apart from that, gems with a good enchantment are very rare. You will be able to enhance your battle trophies, making them a lot more valuable, which is a sure way to become rich and famous. Although I suppose you don't need fame. You have already become legendary. If you have enough time to master the blacksmithing skill, you will also be able to make armor. Shoemaking and tailoring are useful too, but you can leave them for later or delegate them to somebody else. It will take many years to learn everything you need.
I'm in no hurry.
That's what everybody says, but no one ever has enough time. So, I'm not giving you any tools because you won't need them. Your luck will serve you better than any tool.
How is that?
You have the power of magic, so you will use it to create jewelry and cut gems.
I don't get it. How does it work?
Stop announcing your ignorance aloud. You shall understand everything once you learn what I have to teach you. I will bring you two books. You need to read them attentively and quickly. You'll read here. I don't even allow myself to take them out of the house. There's enough tea on the table. Help yourself to as much as you can drink. It helps you think, especially if you brew it strong. So, read the books and meditate on them, and I'll pay the bees a visit. I'm overexcited, and there's nothing like bees to settle the nerves.
The Secret Art of Freeing the Soul of Stone and The Magic of Jewelry were the titles of the books. They were very thick, much to Ross's chagrin, but there was nothing to be done about it. He did say he wanted to learn the skills after all. He turned a page over, then another, and another. There were diagrams, various cuts, facet angles for different types of gems, and lots of other things. The old man paid him a visit as he was halfway through the first book.
"Learning, eh? Well done. Keep at it. There's nothing to do out there. Things look rather grim."
"What happened?"
"There's a bunch of people, all of them rather swarthy, running around in the street, some of them wearing nothing but their underwear. Fancy that. And they keep screaming all sorts of obscenities, the likes of which even I have never heard. Our village drunkard is following them with his jaw down to his knees, hanging on to and trying to memorize their every word. He will find use for all of them, I'm sure."
"What's the matter with them?"
"Some foreign bandits have been getting to all sorts of mischief. A small group of them chose the edge of the woods as their playground, so these swarthy folks decided to gather a larger party to vanquish them and set off toward the woods. But those bandits were sly. The small group was there to draw them in. Once they did, a large force of the bandits came out, enough to leave some of these folks wearing nothing but their pantaloons. All of them were slain in a matter of seconds. Now these swarthy fellows are saying they intend to gather an avenging army. Imagine that. I hope they leave the village alone. I'm too old to get mixed up in these things. And to think I'd intended to find a quiet place."
Ross chuckled. His fellow countryfolk were wreaking havoc all over. A simple noob should not draw anyone's attention, not with hundreds of low-level players gathered in the vicinity of the village who wouldn't risk leaving this more or less safe haven. As per the forum, raids on unprotected communities had extremely negative effects on the player's karma. In some cases, valuable stats like luck became reduced irreversibly, so even the biggest psychos among the Russians were unlikely to show up here. Villages were nothing like walled towns. The penalties for attacking the latter were incomparably lighter, and if one fulfilled a number of conditions, one could avoid them altogether. Ross dozed off a few times during the night, only to wake up and resume reading. The old man was unwavering about it. He had to learn everything in one go, without getting up. Ross didn't object too much. Gems and jewelry were in constant demand, according to the forum, and dozens of clans sought gem cutters and jewelers in the vacancies section, struggling to find applicants worthy of consideration. Leveling such skills was both lengthy and costly, so few attempted to invest serious time and effort into them. Ross had to think about the future. Trophies were fine, but creative labor shouldn't be scoffed at either, especially the well-paid sort. It was long past midday when Ross turned over the last page, sat there for a minute or two, shut the book, and stretched with gusto, like a cat after a long night's sleep. He heard the door open as the breeze wafted in the smell of honey.
"How did it go, lad?"
"I have read the books, both of them."
"Thoroughly?"
"As thoroughly as I could." The old man approached and looked down at Ross, who was sitting at the table. His expression changed from stern to contemplative. Eventually, he said,
"I can see that you are telling the truth."
"You receive 3 auxiliary stats, jewelry, gem cutting, and magical transmogrifier. Due to the qualities of your character, all your auxiliary stats are raised to 6 automatically."
"Happy, son?"
"You bet. But what about the 3rd stat, magical transmogrification?"
Haven't I told you that you'd need no tools? You will use magic.
I see.
Your crafting and creation skills look good enough. You're capable of seeing the essence of things even better, and you're well endowed with reason. I won't even mention your luck. It treats you very favorably indeed. You possess many talents. Exercise them, work on yourself and on your skills so that you might progress.
That's what I've been dreaming of.
And so your dream will come true.
Could you please tell me whether the others will be able to see my special talents, the way you do, if I use the veil of mystery? If I join a party, for example?
They will only see whatever you decide to let them see.
Got it. So I'll be off then? Or is there anything else?
Go. The village is quiet at last. The foreign bandits are gone. They've done as much damage as they'd wanted, and then departed whence they came. You can go wherever you want without any trouble, but be careful on the roads. We have enough footpads of our own.
Where would I get the veil of mystery?
That's common knowledge, at the Mage's Guild.
And where can I find the guild?
Oh, they have branches in virtually every town and city. It won't be hard to find.
Thank you once again. I'm really in your debt.
You are welcome. One more thing. Not a single word about me to any living soul. Don't forget that I helped you.
Understood. I'll be as silent as a tombstone.
Quite right. Remember that if anyone asks about me.
And with that, the old man headed back toward the wicket gate.
Chapter 35. You have crafted a cut amethyst of good quality. You have crafted a cut amethyst of good quality. You have crafted a cut amethyst of excellent quality. Attention, not enough magic energy. You cannot craft this item.
Out of mana. Again. Had he known what he'd get up to, he would have dumped all his undistributed points into intellect and then settled down for about a week cutting gems.
Ross spent the rest of the day at the shopkeeper's hayloft, only taking a break for supper and a quick wash. He'd managed to cut about 200 gems, although about a quarter had disintegrated into useless sand in the process. The forum prices for good quality gems were around 3 or 4 gold pieces, and a dozen or more for excellent ones. There were very few of the latter, but he should be able to sell the lot for a decent sum, given the sheer volume of his stock. Ross had come up with a plan of action for the nearest future, even before leaving the former royal jeweler's yard. He had to reach the Mage's Guild and learn the skill he was now desperate to have. If Starbonus was right, he would no longer be identifiable by any method. He studied the forum and found out that the Mage's Guild was a place where you could receive quests and learn skills, but the former were troublesome without yielding much in the way of a reward, while the latter were of poor quality and only good for the lowest level noobs. Proper spells were learned from scrolls looted off mobs. Those were rare, and usually dropped by dungeon bosses. Moreover, colossal demand made them prohibitively expensive. He also found a thread where the Veil of Mystery was discussed. Everyone concurred that the skill in question was a mere mockery of zero utility. All this spell could do was hide your stats. You could specify any values as long as they were lower than the ones you actually had. Thus, it wouldn't even be useful for deceiving a potential employer by inflating one's stats. So what was the point? There was no point in it for anyone. Except Ross. He said farewell to the hospitable shopkeeper in the morning, assuring him that he would definitely pay him a visit if he ever visited these parts again, and then headed toward Peghur, which was the nearest town. The same forum had informed him there was a branch of the Mage's Guild there, which was just what he needed. He would also need money.
It was said that the Veil of Mystery was outrageously expensive. The players found it ridiculous. No one would pay a copper for such a useless skill, so why would anyone shell out a small fortune for it? He intended to use his cut gems to solve his financial issues. The same town had a branch of the Jewelers and Artisans Guilds, located in the same building. High-quality gems were in constant demand among the representatives of both these professions. They might buy them cheaper than other players, but at least he could sell everything at once, without any delay. Walking down the road was boring, much more so than crossing the woodland. Back then, he could at least watch lizards darting this way and that, pick berries, and gather useful herbs. But there was nothing to stop for here, and nothing to pick from the overgrown roadside. A party of high-level players rode by once. Their mounts included horses, tigers, and beasts that looked like nothing Ross had ever seen before, leaving a cloud of dust behind him that made him sneeze. They paid no attention to Ross, and didn't seem to be particularly wary in the first place. He hadn't been following the recent news, but this suggested that the Russian invasion must have come to an end. Either that, or the Russians had moved elsewhere, to some place where herds of green noobs roamed free. Ross occasionally made stops in the bushes, cutting the gems he had mined until he would run out of mana, and then journeyed on. During one such break, he decided to work on ore instead of gems. He had gathered some of the simplest copper ore at the Thilbit camp for the specific purpose of someday unlocking some of the stats associated with processing it. The ore was high quality. When processed, it was supposed to transform into a copper bar. Ross squeezed the rock in his hand, stared at it intently, and visualized it transform into reddish metal. There was a barely audible hiss, and a handful of slag sand poured onto the ground. There was a neat little bar in the palm of his hand. Success! He temporarily left the gems alone, switching to the ore. Even with his new stats, he was still a little overloaded, so he shouldn't miss the opportunity of dropping some weight. A lump of ore weighed 4.5 times as much as a bar, and he had plenty of those. Ross used up all his mana during his very first break, unlocking 3 new auxiliary stats: Metal Expert, Molding, and Metallurgy. Another one unlocked during his next break, Dowser. And having found out from the forum that many of the players bounced for a reason, namely to level up acrobatics, he soon unlocked that stat too. His new skills hastened the smelting of ore considerably, and it was now consuming less mana too. The old man was a real treasure trove. The skills received from him were invaluable. As Ross sat there smelting the ore, he dreamed of clearing more dungeons, mining for ore and gems. Then he would make himself busy smelting ore and cutting gems. He might even learn enchanting, although the forum posters warned it took a long time and cost a small fortune. That was all right, though. He was prepared to make investments into his character. No money or effort spent on developing his skills would be wasted. All of it would come back with interest. Glavalin, Athrona Starkum hits you for 22 damage. Ross yelped when an arrow struck him in the shoulder, coming from out of nowhere. The reflexes developed in the dungeon served him at once. He jumped aside before his brain could process what was happening, spun, and then dashed in the opposite direction. Another arrow whistled by before he finally saw the aggressor. A pot-bellied dwarf was standing at the edge of the wood, letting loose one arrow after another from a most unprepossessing bow. His name was displayed in reddish lettering, which surprised Ross a little. Someone with so little skill in archery was barely capable of dealing damage and would find it hard to kill the most ordinary level 10 player, let alone escape the encounter unscathed. but he must have managed it somehow. More likely, he had caught someone who'd left their body in the wrong place and then hacked it up like a training dummy. The dwarf ran out of arrows without scoring any more hits. Ross's agility, speed, and other stats that were much higher than usually expected of such levels were on full display.
"Will you kick the bucket already, you noob?"
yelled the dwarf, dashing forward to engage in melee combat, waving a gnarled club most menacingly.
"You're a funny one," shouted Ross in response, raising his arm.
"I'm gonna show you who's funny."
You hit Glavelin Athranostarkum for 169 damage. Chaos Arrow took off two-thirds of the attacker's HP.
"Bastard! Walking abortion! Noob! Bottom-feeding noob mage!" yelled the dwarf, making a run for the woods.
You kill Glavelin Athranostarkum. XP received 59. Points left until the next level, 1043. The hapless dwarf left a bunch of cheap and low-grade mementos. That was typical for his kind. When you played with this much risk, it made no sense to wear expensive equipment. Ross picked up everything, without his usual disdain for cheap items, and scattered the trophies in the tall grass that grew alongside the road. The caches were primitive, but these places were frequented by many players, which meant his cache master skill level would grow. His private chat window blinked. The dwarf had respawned and seemed eager to tell him something.
"Hey, you! If you touch my stuff, you're gonna regret it!"
"You're too late. I already touched it."
"Say what?"
"I picked up everything. Heading for the village now. The shopkeeper will give me a good price for all this loot. Thanks a lot."
"Stop right where you are. You'll have to spend the rest of your life in the village if you don't give my stuff back. I won't let you get out."
"Sounds like a great idea. Fresh air, a lovely river nearby, mushrooms, berries, and so on. I guess that's just where I'll stay. I'll have some money to spend once I sell off your stuff, too."
"Bastard! Swine! I'll find you IRL.
I can't wait. And thanks again."
Ross added the dwarf's username to his ignore list. He would receive no further messages from that character. He didn't regret it, for the other guy seemed to have said everything he had intended to, and listening to impotent curses of an obvious idiot was a tedious pastime. A dwarf archer was really something. The race had no archery bonuses whatsoever. This Glavelin must have ignored the guides, too, or perhaps he had intended to make his fortune in the mines, but eventually grew tired of swinging his pickaxe around and decided you could get rich by robbing other players. The town must be nearby, or the aggressor's bind spot, perhaps, otherwise there was no chance of sending a private message. Either that, or the dwarf had managed to message him through one of the messengers. They served the function of signal boosters, as used by cellular networks, and looked like rhombic obelisks tapering toward the top. You could find them along the roads, helping travelers stay in touch. An hour later, Ross had to escape from a whole gang, three red players whose level he could not see. One of them turned out to be a mage, but a very weak one. He used some movement impairing or freezing spell on Ross that didn't stick, while the two sluggish warriors simply couldn't catch up with their quarry, yelling insults as he got away. He felt inclined to get back through the woods, get past their ambush, and attack them once a good opportunity presented itself. He could disable the mage and then run laps around the warriors, pelting them with spells until they fell. But time was of the essence. The road seemed to be popular among noob hunters, so he would probably run into more trouble. If he launched a vendetta against every gang, it would take him more than a week to reach the town. Ross got attacked two more times. The second encounter was dire enough for him to think he would not survive it. The gang also had a mage whose spell did work. Ross froze in place, unable to take his feet off the ground. He turned toward the three approaching warriors desperately, firing chaos arrows at them time and again, aiming at their legs. It worked. One of them suffered a critical hit and rolled on the ground, holding on to his broken shin, while the other started to run around in circles, hopping every now and then. Only the third fighter managed to reach Ross, swinging his axe to decapitate him. He missed. His target simply ducked. Ross felt the control of his feet return at that very moment and darted off, taking an axe hit in the back, followed by some nasty, fiery spell from the mage that hit the same spot. This took off less than half of his HP, and he made his escape, hearing curses and bewildered comments about the weird noob who was too tough for his own good. He hoped they would keep silent about this skirmish. There were some parties who could express an interest in unusual noobs, and he wasn't ready to face the curious crowd just yet. His vigor was nearly at zero as he approached the city, still running. Even though it regenerated twice faster now, as per the specifications of his achievements, it didn't make much of a difference when consumed quickly. There was a fair number of guards at the gates, 6 warriors and a mage, judging by the staff in his hands, all NPCs. Either they had always been serious about security here, or the security measures had been beefed up after the recent events. "Why are you running like a mad horse?" one of the warriors asked gruffly. "There are footpads aplenty along the road. I barely managed to escape and have been running ever since." "Those thugs must be very sure of themselves to attack people right near the town. Is this Pegher? What else would it be? This is where I've been meaning to go, then. Let the mage record your name. Those are the new rules. There's a war going on." "The war is over already, isn't it? We haven't been informed, so we guard the gate as commanded." When the mage moved his palm over Ross's head, he raised one eyebrow in surprise. "So that's how it is? What? You're a very strange person." "Sure am. My mom always said so. Your name doesn't befit a hero." "My girlfriend likes it," said Ross, recollecting a recent acquaintance. "So, may I pass?" "Of course. Welcome." The mage gave Ross a long stare as he entered the city, and Ross did not like it at all. There were no problems with cut gems whatsoever. Jewelers and craftsmen took them all, just as Ross had hoped. The quartermasters of the NPC guilds almost came to blows over who would get the best gems. He came out about 6,500 silver pieces richer. Ross had to put the money in one of the bags. They didn't fit into his noobish purse. That reminded him he could get a much better one at the market. So that was where Ross headed next. The choice of wares did not impress him much, but he did manage to get a decent bag and a purse, as well as a few enhanced items for warriors, including a one-handed sword. All of it would come in handy once he changed his looks. He intended to get to it as soon as possible, still feeling ill at ease from the look the mage had given him earlier. An NPC, granted, but you never knew. He may have been ordered to be on the lookout for strange noobs and then report, or perhaps someone had offered to pay him for information. Judging by the village shopkeeper, NPCs coveted silver. The Mage's Guild office was right next to the town hall, towering above it as if the mages were hinting at who was really in charge of things in this town. Players of different races darted up and down a wide stone staircase, all of them clad in different attire. One even tried to get in wearing nothing but his long johns, but the guard at the entrance chased him away. "Halt!" Ross heard someone call behind his back as he took the first step forward. When he turned around, he saw players of an obviously high level approach him from 3 sides. He couldn't see their levels regardless of his talents, and their accoutrement looked nothing like what you'd see on a noob. "Erau invites you to join their party. Accept, decline." Ross declined, obviously enough. "Accept the party invitation," shouted Erau impatiently, resending the invitation. "We'll buff you." "I don't need any buffs. I'm about to go offline for a while." come again? Are you out of your mind, noobster? Accept the invitation at once, or it's the blacklist for you.
Screw you and your blacklist, Ross snarled as he started up the stairs.
You won't leave the town. We'll cut you to ribbons right here.
Sure thing. Consider me frightened. Ross didn't so much as turn around. A hand grabbed him by the shoulder roughly, but he shook it off easily. The guard at the top of the stairs took notice and asked in a strict voice,
"Are these people causing you trouble?"
"Yeah, they started harassing me all of a sudden. They must be perverts of some sort."
"Leave the guild's visitor alone, or there'll be trouble. We'll wait for you here," drawled Irau menacingly.
Ross looked calm on the outside, but he was shaking inside. Damn, they'd caught up with him. It must have been that NPC, just like he'd suspected. So what would happen now? Wrong question. The right question was somewhat different. What would he do next? The three players decided against taking the guild by storm. They were too few to take down a building chock full of high-level NPCs who would surely resist. This meant he would have some time. Even in the worst-case scenario, they'd need to gather enough players for an assault. More likely, they wouldn't attempt an assault and just wait for him to come out. No one could use a teleport inside a town or village building. It was supposed to be a physical impossibility. Thus, they must think he had three options: leave the building, leave the game, or kill himself and respawn. If these guys were serious, they would keep track of everything, not just the guild, but the nearby area as well. No matter where he'd resurrect, he wouldn't be able to stay unnoticed for long. Also, if the NPC at the gates saw all of his actual stats and reported them to interested players, the conflict that had nearly ground to a halt would surely flare up again. There were just too many people interested in Ross.
Chapter 36.
"I need the scroll for the Veil of Mystery," Ross blurted this out as soon as he entered the office that the chatty guard had directed him to.
"Keep it down, young man," said an elderly, wrinkled NPC, holding out his hand. "Hand it over."
"Hand what over?"
"The receipt, of course."
"Receipt?"
"That's right. You must be aware we don't go about handing out scrolls for free. That would be against guild policy. However, I am prepared to offer you a substantial discount if you agree to perform a rather complicated task. I'm in a hurry, so I'll pay. How much will it be?"
"You don't have to shout like that," the old man winced.
"I'm in a great hurry. 980 guineas.
Is it all right to pay in silver?"
"Certainly, but I'm not the one who collects money. I only take receipts."
"Where do I pay?" Ross felt a chill run down his spine as he imagined having to cross the village.
"The cashier's office is right next to the exit."
Ross felt an instant relief and dashed into the corridor. After paying the asking price, he ran back just as quickly, handing the receipt to the old man. The NPC studied it attentively, grunted gruffly, rose, opened the bookcase behind him and rummaged inside it, then produced a snow-white scroll tied over with a pink ribbon.
"The Veil of Mystery, as ordered."
Ross darted back. The old man yelled, confused,
"Where are you off to? You have forgotten your receipt stub."
"Hang it on a nail in your privy," Ross yelled, already running down the corridor. He saw a young elven lady pass by and gently stopped her, touching her on the elbow.
"Sister, this cap of yours is the bee's knees. I'll buy it for my girlfriend if you agree. Just name your price."
The girl looked surprised.
"It hasn't got any bonuses, you know.
I just like the way it looks. How much?"
"Well, 15 silver pieces?"
asked the elven girl uncertainly.
"How about 12? If you're okay with that, it's a deal," Ross offered so as not to look like an oblivious moneybags.
It was quieter on the second floor, and there were fewer players.
Roz hid behind a statue, depicting a hero in a flowing wide cape, wide enough that you could hide a cow here if you wanted to. You have learned the spell, Veil of Mystery. Magic will help you hide your true nature from other players and creatures. Attention, players and creatures whose level exceeds half the value of your intellect will be able to see your true essence. Magic energy required, 825 points. Cooldown, 1,000 seconds. The spell consumes 4 magic energy points per second until cancelled. The effect of the spell can be cancelled by repeated use or dispelled with a debuffing skill. The spell is also dispelled in case of the character's death. Damn, that was something he hadn't been aware of. The intellect condition was rather unpleasant, meaning the protection wasn't absolute. However, it should still help him escape. And now it was time for clean slate. Once Ross entered the character modification mode, the first thing he did was raise his intellect so that it would be slightly above 600, with the aid of the bonuses of the legendary Invisible Belt. Now, even the famous level 300 Chinese player would not be able to see anything he wasn't supposed to. Additionally, high intellect implied quick mana regeneration. That would more than compensate for the magic energy points spent on keeping the Veil of Mystery up. His appearance came next. He chose a race that wasn't very popular this time, the Flightings. The racial bonuses were the main reason for the race's low popularity. Their most powerful abilities were oriented at providing support to other players. Flightings made excellent buffers and healers, but few players enjoyed playing as a first aid kit or party amplifier. They were next to useless on their own, a typical class for playing as part of a group. Attention, you have entered the administrative mode with extended account editing options. Are you sure you want to change the character's sex? It was hardly something he dreamed of, but this was no time to be conservative about one's means. Everyone on the forum claimed it was impossible to play with a character whose sex differed from your own. For everyone but him, that is. Ross should never again be suspected by anyone once he went through with the sex change. Attention, this option functions in limited availability mode. Enter the test period duration. Ross moved the slider all the way to the right. 100-day test period has been chosen. The character's stats will be corrected automatically after the end of the period. Even a week would be fine by Ross. All he wanted was to leave the building. Now he had to work on his appearance and select a name. He decided to settle on the most banal option, Nurse Lady. It would instantly make it clear to everyone that his character was oriented towards support from the very beginning. The ethical issues associated with such a radical method of camouflage did not bother Ross at all. He wouldn't think twice about becoming a camel if it meant he would be left alone. In fact, he was prepared to spend a week standing on his head, and when it was over, he'd most likely change his appearance again. Ross did everything he could in the editor to transform his character in the most radical way. He ended up with the likeness of a frail-looking teenage girl, looking perfectly harmless and not even remotely pretty. Placing an icon indicating his character's in-game appearance was similar to how the owner looked in real life next to his name as a coup de grace. He also distorted his voice to make it sound almost like the squeaking of a rodent. His new image was complete. To be sure, it wasn't without flaws, but it would be absolutely impossible to see any similarity between his new appearance and his former character. He quit the editor and cast Veil of Mystery on himself. Once the spell took, he got access to fine-tuning options of what others could or could not see. He made his stats look normal and made sure the players in his party or clan would get no bonuses from his achievements. Ross had 38 undistributed levels left. He could jump to level 49 from his current level of 11, raised from 10 by cutting gems and smelting ore.
It would be stupid to use them right now, and far more prudent to level to 200 first, whereupon progress would grind to a halt, and make the leap then. Nevertheless, he very reluctantly sacrificed 3 levels, raising his to 14. Now it was time to take care of his clothes. He removed the well-worn archer's glove, as well as everything else. It was a pity he hadn't thought of buying one for women at the market, but it wasn't a big deal. Noobs wore all sorts of things. It took them until level 30 or 40 before they started sporting decent equipment. Also, level 14 was better than 10 or 11. He had a wider selection of items in his bags. John Archer 44, a light elf who had entered the Mage's Guild, was tall and long-eared, with long, fair hair and an unprepossessing bow at his back, clad in halfway decent clothes and boots. No one ever saw him afterwards. In his stead came out a flighting by the name of Nurse Lady. Petite, frail-looking, dark-haired, unarmed and barefoot, wearing a long cuirass made of thamel tree bark with something resembling a skirt made of the same material attached to it. Ross had found it in one of the dungeon's caches and decided to take it, since it wasn't particularly heavy, even though its class wasn't any higher than enhanced. Not exactly a dress, but it looked similar enough to come in handy. The small, coquettish cap was the icing on the cake. No man would ever put on anything like it, unless he was fond of dressing in drag, or unless he was in dire straits, like Ross. He was aware that lower-level players aiming to level up their earth magic skills often went barefoot, which drew them closer to their element of choice and yielded infinitesimal bonuses, so he wouldn't look suspicious. The lack of a weapon wasn't critical either. Many players preferred to keep their weapons out of sight in the city, and you could stuff a lot in your bag, provided you had enough slots. Ross didn't leave the guild building at once. He descended to the first floor, noticing greater numbers of high-level players who were obviously on the lookout for someone. He found a mage responsible for healing and support and spent the rest of his money on 4 scrolls: Armor Aura, Attack Aura, Regeneration Aura, and Lesser Healing. Now he could pass for an actual flighting noobster under any circumstances. Or, given his present circumstances, a noobsterette. There was a bunch of high-level players at the bottom of the staircase. One of them kept repeating the same announcement in a monotonous voice. "We are conducting a search. Accept our invitations and reveal your stats. Whoever fails to comply will automatically be blacklisted." That was the first time Ross thought of taking a look at the name of their guild. It was J.P., the very same Jeeps who chased the Corsicans from the destroyed mine without breaking a sweat. They ranked among the strongest clans of the sector, and the game world as a whole. These guys would have enough resources and chutzpah to destroy the whole town, consequences be damned. He also received an invitation to join a party. He accepted it, trying to look as surprised and confused as a schoolgirl noob would in a strange situation. A few seconds later, a system message told him, "You have been removed from the party." "Nurse Lady is free to go," a voice said around the same moment. Another player swore, "Are you a complete idiot? Why are you checking chicks?" "Duh, I just poked her without thinking. Hey, you! The necro over there. Accept the party invitation, or there'll be trouble for you." They weren't interested in Ross. No one had an inkling that someone in this world could hide under such a disguise. The extended editor options and the veil of mystery proved extremely useful. Had he been unable to disable the heroic party bonuses, they would have found him out at once. The Jeeps were causing quite a commotion. The local chat was a swarm with messages. Ross also received 2 private messages from male players wishing to get acquainted more closely. He turned off all the messages except for those sent by the system and hurried to leave the dangerous place. Once he got away from the bustle, he asked an NPC about a place where one could get a good price for bars of metal, then made for the part of town with the workshops, smithies, and foundries. Once there, he sold all the copper he had smelted on the road. Players at the market would probably pay more, but they might wonder about a character with a non-worker specialization selling large quantities of atypical loot. But the NPCs didn't seem to care. Not a single one looked surprised. As Ross browsed the market, he managed to sell a couple of enhanced rings and pick up some needed equipment, common wizard shoes, an enhanced amulet, and most importantly, a mage's staff. It wasn't expensive, but it wasn't too crappy either, and just right for his level. All he had to do now was leave the town, and he had three options to choose from. The first was the stationary teleport to reach a nearby town or city. The second was the teleportation scroll or the skill received in the dungeon along with his heroic achievements. And the third was to walk out on foot or catch a coach or a caravan headed in the same direction. Ross would take every teleport under control had he been looking for a player like himself. Teleportation was expensive. Players of his level only used it when they were flush with extra dough. Even though it was near impossible to identify him now, there were still a few methods that might work. People might wonder about a poorly dressed girl spending a small fortune on teleportation. A single debuff or something of that sort might prove sufficient for them to find out everything about him. A teleport scroll or skill would take him to any place he had visited before, even if he failed to pull it off in the city due to the omnipresent players. He could search for a private place outside city limits. However, people would spare no effort looking for John Archer, so it would be logical to suss out where he came from. He must have been sighted in the village and along the road. Apart from that, the NPC who must have exposed him was aware whence Ross came after making his escape from the bandits. The mine and its environs wouldn't stay unattended either. He felt that turning up where the search party would look for him would be imprudent. Very imprudent. That meant the third option would be his best bet. There were four gates in the city wall, and Ross got lucky, running into a peasant caravan with a dozen carts leaving the city. He found out their destination from one of their drivers, and then asked the gaffer whether he could take him to the village of Ipa, which they would pass on their way. He even offered to pay. However, the bearded peasant did not take his money, saying that flightings were always welcome, and that, should anything happen, she was by no means to take part in the battle and concentrate on healing. Ross made himself comfortable in one of the carts on a pile of empty sacks left from sold agricultural produce. It appeared that the city never did get a proper blockade. There were no players checking everyone at the gates. But that wouldn't last long. Chapter 37. Ross would nod off every now and then wake up again whenever the cart would hop over a rock or a hillock. The coachman kept muttering monotonously about the prices for oats, gigantic shrews that had the audacity of spoiling the harvest of sugar beet, the drunk shepherd who had managed to drown two calves in a shallow pond, and other significant events of his glorious village life. He didn't care much about people listening. The blabbering must have been his method of staying awake. In the morning, the coachman woke Ross up with a shout.
"Come on, beautiful! Get up!"
"Eh? Say what? You wanted Apa, didn't you?"
"I sure did."
"Well, you've arrived. Follow this path, and you'll be in Apa in about an hour. Not that I would recommend you to go there, mind you."
"Why?
It's a rotten place. The people who live there are mean, stingy, and lazy. Evil has them enthralled.
Just what do you mean?
There used to be a big city there, proud and rich. It got buried when the mages warred for domination over elements, people and all. There's a hill where the city used to stand. You can reach it through burrows in the ground. As for the denizens, they got buried, but they didn't die. Or rather, they did. How do I put it without scaring you too much? Well, your best bet would be staying away from there.
Thank you. I'll think about it.
If you decide to return, don't walk the main road on your own. There are many evil people among your kin. A caravan is too much for them to handle, but if you walk alone...